This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, a new barbershop in UW-Green Bay's student union is aimed at building community and making students of color feel more comfortable on campus. We'll talk to the owner about the connections he's hoping to create through cutting hair. Now, Congress approved the Inflation Reduction Act on Friday. It includes a number of provisions for clean energy. Among them is a revamped tax credit for electric vehicles, also called EVs. The new tax credits replace a previous program and add a different set of criteria that vehicles and manufacturers have to meet in order to qualify. The credits aim to promote lower-costing electric vehicles with more components made in North America. So, what does this all mean for cars and the people who buy them? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you considered purchasing an electric vehicle? Have you done it? Are you trying to do it right now? Or did you think about it, but something kept you from doing it? Love to hear from you as well. What questions do you have about what is out there on the market right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jamie Page Deaton is editor-in-chief of CarTalk.com and former executive director of the U.S. News Best Cars team. Jamie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. There was a subsidy program. Once this thing is signed tomorrow and comes into effect, I think at the end of this year, there will be an EV subsidy thing. What are you looking at as far as differences between the old one and this new one?
Well, this one is a little bit different, and I think some buyers are really going to like it, and other ones, well, you know, not so much. So the way the old EV tax credit worked was it wasn't a total EV tax credit, but basically you could get up to $7,500 as a tax credit if you were buying, you know, an EV or a hybrid. What a lot of people didn't like about that was a couple of things. One was, as soon as an automaker sold a certain number of these types of cars, their cars were no longer eligible for the tax credit. So if you were, you know, the 101st person to buy, you know, the Bolt EV, you were out of luck because, you know, GM had already sold too many of them. Trust me, it was much more than 100.
Right.
After that, too, what people didn't like is you could only take the $7,500 off your taxes. And so that really didn't change the payment or the price of the car for most people, because most people are financing cars, they're not taking cash. So it really didn't seem like that much of an immediate rebate for people. The new one is a lot different. So first of all, it's not based on how many cars that the automaker has sold. So all of a sudden, automakers like, you know, Tesla, GM, and Toyota are back in the game for selling EVs. And then on top of that, you can get up to $7,500 for new cars, $4,000 for used cars as a tax credit, but it's transferable. So you can actually take that tax credit, transfer it over to the dealer, and then get it as a discount on the car. So that's something that a lot of folks, I think, will find a lot easier when trying to figure out, like, how can I make an EV fit my budget? The one thing to keep in mind, though, is it's only up to $7,500, and it's based on a formula for the vehicle based on how clean it is and how many of its components were sourced and assembled in North America. So that's one big thing. The other is that there are income limits for people who can claim this. So if you are an individual with over $150,000 in income, you're not going to qualify for this credit. If you're filing jointly with someone, the limit is $300,000. And if you're the head of a household and make more than $225,000, you're not going to qualify. And then beyond that too, so maybe this is why, you know, this might automatically take some of those high income people out of the running here. If it's a car, it cannot cost more than $55,000 and be eligible for it. And if it's an SUV or a truck or a van, it can't cost more than $80,000. So a lot of these really high-end SUVs are going to be left out.
Now, I'm going to ask a question I'm guessing you've gotten a lot already, Jamie. For people in the market for an electric car, maybe they were thinking about trying to go shopping for one this week. Should they put things on hold and wait for 2023? I'm going to guess the answer starts with it's complicated, but take it from there.
Yeah, it's absolutely complicated. It depends on what you want. Now, a lot of people have an issue with this because they feel like it hamstrings some new EV makers. So if you look at like Rivian, for example, you know, they have an SUV that starts below the $80,000. So it would be, you know, would be eligible for it, but the car has to be put in service before December, you know, December 31st. And so they've changed a little bit. And the reason that that's an issue for folks is because these new automakers, they're taking orders, but they're not able to make deliveries for a long, long time. And so what some automakers are doing is they're allowing people to take the credit if they lock in a non-refundable deposit. But the other thing too is, you know, you might want, automakers are retooling their supply chains and where they're assembling a lot of these and entering into, you know, new partnerships and deals. So you might want to wait because a car that's not eligible for the credit now might be eligible in the future. And the other thing is just in general, now is a great time to wait to buy a car because prices are still high. With the way gas prices, you know, spiked over the summer, there's been unprecedented interest in EVs. So whereas they used to be some of the most discounted cars on the lots because dealers couldn't move them, now, you know, you're not going to get quite as good a deal on it. So it would be, you know, if I was thinking an EV, I'd be waiting about a year so I could figure out exactly which, you know, which car would maximize my tax credit on this and see if prices can calm down a little bit.
Talking to Jamie Page Deaton from CarTalk.com, looking at electric vehicles with this new law passed by Congress, expected to be signed by the president tomorrow, includes a change in the way subsidies work for electric vehicles. You could join in with your experiences purchasing an EV, deciding not to, trying to, but not being able to find any. 800-642-1234 with your experiences, comments, or questions. John joins us now in Stoughton. John, hello.
Oh, hey, Jamie. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
What did you want to bring up, John?
Well, I currently drive a 2013 C-Max hybrid, and it's getting time to replace it. What's on the market now that might qualify for this new tax incentive? And again, did I understand correctly, it needs to be purchased before December 31st of 2022?
That's if you're buying it under the old one, I think. There's a new one kicking in next year, John. But let's narrow things down for Jamie. What, you know, what kind of size of EV would you be looking for if you went that way? Oh, we lost John. But all right, Jamie, any thoughts for John?
Well, actually, John is in a really good position because there are a ton of EVs and electrified vehicles. And the reason that I say electrified is because when you're talking about an EV, that is a pure battery electric vehicle. It only goes, you know, based on battery power. But this actually doesn't just reward EVs. It rewards clean vehicles. And so even some plug-in hybrids, which are basically, these are hybrids that are actually probably similar to John's C-Max, where you can plug these in at night and you get about 30 miles of all electric range. And then you've got a gas engine that kicks in. So for most of your day-to-day running around, you get really good, you know, you're being emission free kind of at the tailpipe. But if you're on a long trip, you don't have to worry about charging infrastructure. But for John, what's kind of interesting is there are a lot of good EVs, full battery electric vehicles like the Hyundai Kona and the Kia EV6. Those are going to be really difficult to get the tax credit on because they're coming from you know, they're coming from foreign auto manufacturers. So Hyundai and Kia are going to have to scramble to get their manufacturing and their sourcing more into North America. But there are still some really good options out there. I'm actually a big fan of the Chevrolet Bolt EV. It's very similar to the C-Max in terms of size, cargo space, and handling. And it's also, you know, really, really affordable. The Nissan Leaf is another EV where it actually, you know, this is one where you might be able to get a deal on it because it's on its way out. And then, you know, John, if you're looking, I'm just tossing this in here because it's really fun. Mini has an electric version and it is the most fun to drive car that I've driven in years. So that one might be hard to get the tax credit on, but you'll definitely make up for it in, you know, miles per hour.
John, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. You mentioned that charging infrastructure. Jamie, I know this new bill is tackling that here in Wisconsin. State officials have applied for some federal funds to get more charging stations. Here's State Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson talking on WPR's The Morning Show last week.
the auto manufacturers have weighed in, and they are changing. And GM has said within 10 years they're going to be producing 100% electric vehicles. So this is coming, and states that are ready and there is not range anxiety and people feel comfortable to come to their state are going to reap the benefits. And states that don't have that are going to lose out.
Charging stations and range anxiety. Jamie, where are we on that right now with that kind of infrastructure?
Not where we need to be. And this infrastructure, the Inflation Reduction Act, it does offer subsidies for the development of this infrastructure, but we are nowhere near where we need to be. I know that, like, I don't have a charger at home. And so when I have an EV for the week, I take it to public chargers. I live just outside Washington, D.C. You would think that the charging infrastructure would be great because it's a, you know, highly urban area, lots of people, you know, that are early adopters of electric vehicles. And once you're outside your house, it's really hard. It's very difficult to find chargers that charge at the speed that's advertised. It's hard to find chargers that are not broken. And, you know, it's also kind of hard to find chargers in an area where you feel safe, kind of sitting there for an hour or so. And so, you know, a lot of businesses are stepping up and adding them. But this is something that's going to take, you know, it's going to be a long time, which is, again, it's one of those reasons why I always really like to recommend a plug-in hybrid, because you get electric driving for the majority of the time. But if you find yourself with range anxiety, you've got that gas engine that can kick in, and, you know, you're never going to run out of gas as long as, you know, there's a gas station around. So it does make life a little bit less worrisome while also cutting carbon emissions.
We're talking about electric vehicles with CarTalk.com editor-in-chief Jamie Page Deaton. Landscape changing, including with the passage of this bill in Congress that changes the way subsidies work for these vehicles. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about electric vehicles, including plug-in hybrids? Do you or someone you know own one? Are you trying to buy one right now? Or are you holding off? Are there questions that still need to be answered? Call 800-642-1234. Jamie might have a recommendation for you. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We pick up our talk now with Jamie Page Deaton, editor-in-chief of CarTalk.com, with us today looking at the electric vehicle market and the potential impact of new tax credits in the Inflation Reduction Act. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences, your questions, your quandaries. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Back to your calls now. Dennis is on the line in Chippewa Falls. Dennis, what do you have going on?
Well, I want to tell my experience about buying a plug-in hybrid, and I was looking at also a pure EV. But in the final analysis, I bought a plug-in Volvo XC60 Recharge, the new extended range, which allows me to charge at home. But I'm getting right now 40 to 42 miles of electric driving each day before the gasoline engine kicks in. It covers 90-some% of my driving. I think for the month of June, in this last month, I think my total gasoline expenditure was $33. So my point is, a plug-in hybrid really works well for a lot of people like me, who most of my daily driving is less than 40 miles.
Dennis, so, thanks a lot for the call. Jamie.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, most people's daily driving is less than 40 miles. Most people end up driving about 30 miles a day. So a plug-in hybrid can have you going gas-free for the majority of your time, 99% of your time. And then when you want to take a longer trip and you aren't so sure about, how am I going to find a charger? Well, it's, you know, you can keep going with the gas stations that are along your route. I'd also like to point out too, you know, Dennis's, the Volvo he's talking about, that's an SUV, and it's, you know, not a small one either. So the fact that he's spending so little on gas really shows that, you know, even if you want a larger car, you aren't going to have to avoid EVs or avoid plug-in hybrids. They are basically the same as all of the other, there's an EV option for every gasoline-powered car out there, pretty much. So don't feel like you have to give up on anything just because you're considering one of these cars.
Dennis, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Liz joins us next in Madison. Liz, hi.
Hi, yes. Say, I'm questioning the range that is advertised with electric vehicles. My understanding is if you use your air conditioner or heater, that's going to diminish the range. If you're going into a strong wind or if you're climbing a mountain, that's going to diminish the range. Also, I'm aware that hydrogen vehicles, which, of course, is a whole different can of worms, fills as fast as a regular petroleum vehicle. And that is a topic that's on the Colorado Hydrogen Network podcast. But I'm curious about what you think about the range issues with factors I mentioned.
Liz, thanks for that call. Yeah, the same things that might, suck up more gasoline in the car might burn out our range faster, Jamie.
Exactly, because, I mean, when you need to use more energy, whether the energy is coming from an electric charge or whether it's coming from a gasoline engine, you're going to use more of that energy. But I found in my testing, and I'm testing cars, every week, I haven't had a huge difference in range. Now, I'm the kind of person who, as soon as I have, as soon as the car says, oh, you got 50 miles to go until you need gas, I go and get gas. I always subtract, 50 miles from whatever the distance to empty is. But even then, these EVs, they're not falling in range as quickly. Now, I want to put a couple of caveats out there. One is that I am testing these in, the mid-Atlantic. In Wisconsin, it's going to get colder. And those cold batteries, that is going to have an impact on range. We're not talking hundreds of miles, though. We're talking maybe 10 to 12 miles. So it's just one of those things where as you get to know your car, you'll understand kind of what the range is. For all of us who've driven, old gas-powered cars, you might remember, on my car, as soon as the needle hits a quarter of a tank, it really starts to fall, it seems like. It's the same kind of thing. You'll get to know your car. But it's not going to be a huge difference or a difference of, 50, 75 miles or anything like that. It's going to be very slight. And the other thing is you're going to be able to control it as well. So for example, I'm driving a plug-in hybrid Jeep Grand Cherokee this week, and it was really hot in Virginia this past week. And it was using a lot more of my daily charge to blast the air conditioning. But like a lot of EVs, it came with cooled seats. Well, having a heated or a cooled seat not only gets you your body to a more comfortable temperature, it's a much more efficient and less energy efficient way, energy dependent way to get you to a comfortable temperature, because rather than cooling all the air around you, you're just cooling your body and what's touching you. So EVs, they have these tricks and they have these alternate technologies to really help you save on that charge. But yes, range will drop if conditions are not perfect, but you're not going to see a huge drop with it.
Thanks for that call, Liz. Mike joins us now in Mount Pleasant. Mike, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to tell us about, Mike?
Last year, I purchased a Mach-E all-electric vehicle. It's a SUV. It says truck on the title. Anyways, I traded that in, but I did get the $7,500 tax credit. And that went through the IRS fine last cycle. And now I bought a new one, the Premium GT. And I just took delivery last Wednesday. And I'm wondering what category I fall into. Do I fall into the old one where I get $7,500 tax credit? Or do I fall into the new system under the new law?
Mike, thanks for the call. I'm guessing old system here, Jamie.
Yeah, I'm guessing old system here too. But I have to say congratulations, Mike, on two Mach-Es. Those are some of the best EVs, the Mach-E is one of the best EVs, I think, on the market. So much fun. For people who don't know it, it's the Mustang Mach-E. So it's a Mustang SUV and it drives the way a Mustang should. And you've got all the practicality of an SUV and it's all electric. So as we go forward, know that that's one of the ones that can be eligible for this tax credit because it's coming from a domestic automaker. Ford has been very good about reworking supply chains to get more of their materials and parts from North America. So that's one that is likely going to get you the most of the tax credit that you can get.
Thanks for that call, Mike. With just a couple minutes left, Jamie, I've been wanting to talk to you about the Ford, you mentioned Ford, the Ford F-150, this like truck that is everywhere. They've been around for work, you know, jobs. My first job as a kid, I drove an F-150 around X number of years ago. There's an electric, and it sounds like demand is really out there. And people are like, you know, putting boosts on the prices to try to sell them to people. What are you seeing in this F-150 electric?
Well, I mean, it's the F-150 Lightning, and I gotta say, it's just an insane truck. It is faster than the Ford Raptor, which is Ford's performance truck. So that should give you an idea of what you're dealing with this fully electric truck. It starts, you know, it's actually got a pretty reasonable starting price of about $40,000, but yeah. People are jacking up the price because that's what dealers do. That's just capitalism. But Ford has stepped in and really tamped down on dealers doing that, not just to the F-150 Lightning, but to, you know, the Bronco and the Mach-E and their other popular models. But this is a truck that's got the towing capacity of a gasoline-powered truck. Like I said, it's really fast. It's got a lot of high-tech features, infotainment. You can actually play video games on it, which is kind of on the big infotainment screen, which of course you can't do while driving, but it's kind of nice while you're parked and waiting for baseball practice to end. The other thing that I love about it is, you know, if you've ever had a truck and you need to carry groceries, let's say, and you've got people in the back seat, your groceries end up sliding around the bed or your kids ride home with a big package of toilet paper in their lap. Well, because it's an electric truck, there's no engine in the front, so you get what's known as a frunk, so a front trunk. And I have to say, a truck with a frunk is so useful because you've got that large locking storage, and it is really large. You can fit a lot of coolers in there. I've seen a lot of automotive bloggers and YouTubers, you know, see how many people they can fit in there. It's usually about two average-sized guys if you're looking, you know, to do that. And beyond that, too, it's actually can act as a generator. So if you've got a fully charged F-150 Lightning, Ford says it's got enough power stored to power a house for 3 days. I think that would depend on how much power your house needs. But maybe if you're not doing, you know, a lot of loads of laundry, you might be okay. But this is one that's really worth checking out if you're a truck person.
And that's all the time we have. Thanks to our guest, Jamie Page Deaton, editor-in-chief of CarTalk.com, with us today with the latest on electric vehicles and new tax credits for them on the way. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show, we'll look at imposter syndrome, what it is, who has it, and how to get over it. That's tomorrow morning here on the Ideas Network. On Food Friday last week, we talked about zucchini and what to do with it all during the peak season. Our guest had lots of great ideas from fancy entrees to baked goods. We've got a couple of recipes actually at WPR.org/Food Friday. We had a mild disagreement about zucchini relish. She scorned the very notion. I love it. A lot of you shared your favorite zucchini dishes. Here are a couple more from the Ideas Network Facebook page. Christy recommends a zucchini lemon zest bread with olive oil. So zucchini bread plus lemon zest and olive oil. And Danica writes, zucchini breakfast fritters are my favorite. I mix a bit of onion, garlic, and hot peppers in with shredded zucchini. Add a bit of whisked egg, flour, salt, and pepper. Fry in a bit of olive oil till it's golden brown. A great base for zucchini tostadas with taco fixings, Danica says. I love zucchini fritters. Maybe I'll make some next weekend. Keep sharing your zucchini favorites on the Ideas Network Facebook page. This is Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. A new podcast shares the stories of currently and formerly incarcerated people in Wisconsin, and it spreads the word about resources available to them and their families. The Out of the Box podcast has been putting out bi-weekly episodes since April, featuring talks with peer support specialists, parole officers, and others. Dee Starr is the host of the Out of the Box podcast, which you can listen to on many platforms. You can find a link at WPR.org/Central Time. I talked to him earlier today. Well, what got you interested in doing this podcast focused on the experience of people in the incarceration system and the resources that are out there for them?
Well, I've been affected for my brother. My brother is currently incarcerated right now. So I'm one of those people that actually was going back and forth to the prisons, visiting my brother, you know, and I have uncles that's and you know, family members that's been in prison. So it's like, you know, I kind of grew up around it. So it's like, man, how can I help these people, you know, other people just like me that's going through the same things, you know,
can you
give them a platform so they can, you know, go forward in life.
Can you talk about the range of guests that people will hear when they start listening to your podcast?
Yeah. So we talk to everybody. So basically we talk to incarcerated, formerly incarcerated people. We talk to aldermen. We'll talk to board members. We talk to community leaders. We talk to music producers. We talk to just everybody, you know.
And one person you talked to was Stacy Clay. He served about 28 years in prison here in Wisconsin. Now he's a peer support specialist who helps people using Anesis therapy. Here's a clip sharing some good news he got on the day you talked with him.
Today I just got the news because being a certified peer specialist, what I found out is that even though I was out of prison, I did my time and I served my time and I did all these other things and had accolades, that I was trying to work with a certain segment of clients, group of clients, and I had to go through the in front of a board of rehabilitation to get permission to give services to these clients. And so today I just got approved and got okay to give services.
And that made me smile. That made me smile, man. That's serious, man. Yeah. That's just.
Absolutely.
Man, to just give, I know it's going to give hope to so many people.
Can you tell us some more about Stacy's story and the kind of work he's doing now?
So Stacy is a great guy. He actually went to prison for about 28 years for a murder. He served his time. He's come home, completely changed his life. Like you say, he's a peer support specialist now. He heads up a mentor group at Mount Zion Baptist Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. And he does a lot of great work with the youth and with the community.
Now, you've talked to a lot of different people, including, you know, knowing your own family members. What are a couple of the biggest challenges people face when they're making that transition from being in prison to being back out again?
Well, one of the biggest things that I hear is just navigating the probation and parole process. That's like one of the biggest things. And you can get violated for, you know, pretty much a victimless crime, for like a rule violation and go back to prison. Or you can go back to prison just off strictly allegation. So that's when somebody just calls in and says, hey, this person did something. So without no evidence, without any trial, without being convicted of anything, you can be sent back to prison.
What kind of help can there be? What kind of help is there for people who want to make sure they don't violate the rules, who want to make sure they don't end up back in the system?
Well, there is groups like Expo. Expo is Ex-Prisoners Organized. So they actually have programs that you can get into, and they will help you navigate the probation and parole office. I mean, you know, like, so basically they have like peer support specialists for people that's on probation and parole.
We're talking to Dee Starr, host of the Outta D Box podcast, focused on supporting currently and formerly incarcerated people and their families. And Dee, can you talk about what family members of people who are incarcerated need to know? What kind of help might be out there for them?
There, like I said before, there is a program called Expo. Mm-hmm. And they should really get in contact with Expo, because they do a lot of work for the incarcerated, formerly incarcerated, and their families. So they have programs that they can help people get back and forth to go see them, keep in contact with them. They like pay your rent. They do a lot of different things. So Expo, I would send people to Expo.
Now, you in your podcast, you're kind of doing the job I do here. You're talking to people, getting them to open up. What does it take sometimes to get people to be willing to share what are, you know, in some cases pretty difficult stories?
A good interviewer. pretty much, you have to make the people feel comfortable, and know that, you know, connect with them like, hey, I've been through the same things that you've gone through. And it's okay to share, and it's okay not to share sometimes, you know. And we go through the editing process, and sometimes we take a lot of things out. But, you know, I would say that just making the people feel comfortable.
You, as you mentioned, you've got family members currently in the system or who have been. What are the, some of the things you've learned along the way that, that you didn't know coming into this podcast process?
Oh, wow. One of the things that I've learned is when someone does a lot of time in prison, 20, 30 years, how remorseful they really are. And I think that's what people need to understand too. It's like, you know, just because someone killed someone or just because someone did a heinous crime, you know, a long time ago and they do it, they did their time, they come home. They need, you need to understand that those people had a lot of time to think about it and they are remorseful. So it's just like, try not to judge people for the actual crime that they committed because everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah, that makes me wonder for if there's somebody out there listening who, you know, hasn't been incarcerated themselves, who doesn't have that that family experience you had, what are you hoping they take away from listening to the interviews you're doing?
Understanding. So we do a lot of different interviews with a lot of different people and from all walks of life. So you can, you know, if you don't connect with the reentry part of our podcast, we actually have another part of the podcast where we're talking about, like I just did one with Zach and Veronica from Just Bakery, and she was talking about, Veronica was talking about how she went through sexual abuse with her, you know, with an uncle, and she shared that story and how she was, you know, an escort, you know, and she was, you know, and how she came up out of that and how she went through the Just Bakery program and she, you know, changed her whole life. Now she has an apartment and she's like a teacher now and she's doing great. So it's like, it's a lot of inspirational stories and things that you can get out of my podcast, not just, you know, the incarcerated and formerly incarcerated part too. And we have a lot of poetry also.
And what is next for the podcast and for your work on it?
So next for the podcast, we're going to actually start doing the video part of it. So, and just real quick, we have, we're going to be a part of this movie called Slam. It's a faith-based movie about four girls who band together, start up a volleyball team to enter a tournament and to win $10,000 to save their church. It's going to be shot here locally in Dane County. And if you guys want to be a part of that, there's a $1,000 cash giveaway, right, for the winner and a trophy. You just go to volleyballslam.com and you sign up. It's a 4-on-4 women's volleyball tournament. So it's great. It's for a great cause.
D, thanks a lot for sharing your work with us today.
No problem. Thank you.
D Star is host of the new Out of the Box podcast focused on supporting currently and formerly incarcerated people and their families. We talked to him earlier today. You can find episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. We've also got a link at WPR.org/Central Time. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, American consumers are building up higher levels of credit card debt. We'll look at the numbers and potential risks and get some advice on managing our credit. And we'll dig into the history behind a Wisconsin legend, the creation of Dungeons and Dragons, and the rise and fall of the company behind it, all centered around their roots in Lake Geneva. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.